Things seem a little quieter tonight after this appalling day, though not by any means more peaceful or less noisome or worrisome. You and I gather tonight much like the disciples did. They have locked themselves away, physically and emotionally, in the upper room, numbed by fear of what the future might be like, what would happen next. What was the purpose of it all? 3 years following this man whom they had served and loved, in whom they had placed so much trust and hope. Something John the Baptist had said to Jesus just a while ago must have haunted them that night. Are you the one who was to come, or do we have to look for another? John asked. So it was a maddening mixture of emotions that the disciples wrestled with, linking them to our questioning, our doubts and fears, perhaps our feelings of defeat and anger that caused sorrow, regret, wonder, a heavy turmoil within us. After all that had happened to Jesus that first Good Friday, we, like the disciples, have to live with those questions and the ambiguity that surrounds the crucifixion, death, and the hasty burial of the one whom we call Lord. We, like them, have to sort things out so that we can go on somehow. An ancient Byzantine liturgy captures the sense of paradox and uncertainty that we might be feeling here tonight. A portion of that liturgy reads, and I quote, "A dread and marvelous mystery we see come to pass this day. For he whom none may touch is seized. He who looses Adam from the curse is bound. He who tries our hearts and inner thoughts is unjustly brought to trial. He closed the abyss that is himself shut in prison. He before whom the powers of heaven stand with trembling stands before Pilate. The Creator is struck by the hand of the creature. He who comes to judge the living and the dead is condemned to the cross. To release a slave, a son is given. And the destroyer of hell is enclosed in a tomb." A book with the interesting title, quote, "God in an Age of Atheism," quotes an elderly Polish Jew who survived the massacre of a Warsaw ghetto. He writes, and I quote, "As I looked at that man upon the cross, I knew I must make up my mind once and for all, and either take my stand beside him and share in his undefeated faith in God, or else fall finally into a bottomless pit of bitterness, hatred, and unutterable despair." Tonight, it is decision time for us about who Jesus really is and what his impact and the meaning of this day has upon us now and for the future. With so much pathos, even emptiness, the ambiguity and injustice surrounding the cross, we may be left with a sense of questioning and gnawing in our minds and hearts about the meaning of this solitary and now dead man's life. With the uncertainty you and I face, the tragedies, betrayals, letdowns, and failures you and I live out, we realize, after all, that life is not a bowl of cherries. What Good Friday demands of us is to learn how to embrace the ambiguity of Good Friday, to apply its struggle to our own, knowing that while failure may be just around the corner, success is there too. Victory is just the other side of defeat. Healing is just the coin of sickness and fear and dread turned over. The passion of Jesus Christ at Calvary is not simply an event that portrays a good man dying unjustly. It is not just another instance of victimization in our world. It is not simply to see suffering acted out on the stage of Golgotha, as it were a Greek tragedy in a Colosseum in Athens or a play on Broadway. To experience Good Friday firsthand, We cannot be mere spectators, onlookers with a widescreen TV from easy chairs in the first row, not as couch potatoes. It is for us to share in Christ's sufferings, to confront the real-life situation Jesus did, to see the connection between the events we've heard about tonight to our own life's experiences, to participate in that same struggle as Jesus did, to weep as Jesus wept at the waywardness of humanity, to see the ugly side of God's world that was meant to be so beautiful, to see the brokenness not just of the Savior's body, but the brokenness of this battered and tortured world, to suffer with Christ the indignity, the injustice, and the violence we see all around us. So tonight, you and I are called to duty. We are deputized to enter personally into the sorrows of others as if they were our own, because they are our own, and to bring such suffering and fear the same kind of love Jesus mediated on the cross. Father, forgive them. Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. Today, O dying one crucified alongside me, today you will be with me in paradise. Into your hands, O Father, I commend my spirit. The writer Anthony Padovano, in his book entitled Who is Christ, teaches us how to begin to embrace the meaning of Good Friday. First, he suggests that suffering on the cross is meant not for itself, but for something else, something much more. Christ does not suffer because suffering is in itself a value, but because love without a restraint requires risk, suffering, sacrifice. Second, we are reminded that it wasn't the physical death of Jesus which is redemptive, but the love of Jesus for us, even in death, that saves us and brings us back to the Father. The crucified Jesus is then a sign, an icon, that love may suffer, but ultimately it overcomes everything lesser than itself. Finally, we need to say tonight that the man or woman of faith finds in Jesus this weekend a hope stronger than history and a love mightier than death. These are some of the clues by which we embrace the strange meaning and mystery of Good Friday. And amidst it all, a kind of strength emerges for us on this Good Friday evening, for us to celebrate and to share. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.